It is time for our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away in Carmel. You've surely heard about the ministry. If you have not, then let me tell you, in a nutshell, they minister to our young people, high school age, early college age, because once they age out of their youth groups, once they leave home and they go away to college, their faith is going to be challenged. And you guys, that even happens in a Christian school. So don't kid yourselves about it. They need to know how to stand firmly on their faith. And that's what they do at Anchors Away. And Nancy's here to help us do the same thing. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning, you two.
It is good.
By the way,
Merry
Christmas. Thanks, Steve, for mentioning that.
Yeah. Only 11 Fridays until Christmas.
Do you feel as rushed as I do now, Nancy?
I do. A sudden surge of pressure, but I must say, that's a great idea just to be thinking about Christmas and jumping over the election stuff and start thinking about something positive. That is a great idea. I'm going to start doing it myself.
Yeah, but you know what? With Christmas comes opportunities for families to get together. When families get together, then there's misunderstanding, and that fits right into what you're talking about today. How can I keep from misunderstanding others?
Well, that's one way of looking at it.
Come spend Christmas with my family. Welcome to our season of misunderstanding.
Season of misunderstanding. How funny. Well, Nancy, how can I keep from misunderstanding others?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, it's interesting just hearing you guys talk. You know, over 80% of young people believe when they go to search something on the internet that it's going to be true. I mean, this is our source of truth, by the way. So it's not surprising then that there's so much misunderstanding out there, especially in the political arena, which gives me a headache even to think about it. But misunderstanding typically happens with false information. You know, misperceptions of people and things that are happening, half-truths, personal bias, prejudice toward a person or situation. So misunderstanding, honestly, especially in this cyber age, is something that is an issue. It's a huge issue. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we have all been misunderstood at one time or another, but it's an issue.
Boy, it is. You know, just recently I got into a discussion. We did not have a fight, but it got to be very tense online with an 18-year-old who is lovely, and I've known her since she was little, but I was trying to give her some factual information because she had misunderstood what she was speaking about. I won't bother to disclose all of that. What I got back, Nancy, was this from her. Oh, honey, I understand. I've done all my research on the internet. And I said, listen, little missy, first of all, don't you call me honey. Secondly, we ended up having a big misunderstanding between us. So what are some ways that we're misunderstood?
Yeah, and I think they're the little things as well as the big things. You know, you say something that comes out wrong and all of a sudden you're misunderstood just by a slip, by an error. A child's labeled as unable to learn because he can't read and later find out he has a learning disability, which can be fixed, and he's brilliant. Again, this misunderstanding. And someone is painfully shy and comes off as being arrogant, misunderstood. A jealous person makes up lies about somebody on Facebook, you know, and all of a sudden there's huge misunderstanding. Or a speaker comes off as having it all together when in truth, once you get to know that person, you'd find that he or she is a real person, real problems. Just like you, and often misunderstood. So it's hugely important, and this is where biblical world comes in, that we determine what is true and what is false by looking into it. I remember in the 70s, Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice wrote Jesus Christ Superstar. Now, I was not a believer at that time. It was a very famous production, and Mary Magdalene, you know, as stated by Liz Curtis Higgs, who in her book Mad Mary wrote this. I think it's so typical of how people think of Mary Magdalene. When the Mary Magdalene character saying, I don't know how to love him, that she had something other than pious devotion in mind. Not only did the movie's interpretation of Mary Magdalene include a lurid past, but Mary's present didn't look too respectable either. So here we see in a Broadway show, I mean, the music was phenomenal, but yet singing and interpreting a character that was aligned in this point.
Well, I tell you, Ted Neely, I saw Jesus Christ Superstar with Ted Neely, and it was amazing. Nancy, yeah, you've studied the story about Mary Magdalene. What'd you learn about that fact that she was misunderstood?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Once I did become a Christian and was studying the scriptures and the gospels, and I realized that, okay, so Mary Magdalene was a major figure, and I am thinking, why on earth did God use this woman, you know, to hang around with Jesus? I mean, I don't think Jesus really liked that. And so I got into it, and I had to revisit the true identity of one of the most notorious women who ever followed Jesus. I mean, she was a major disciple, follower of Jesus. And I found that she was not at all what history had made her out to be, or Jesus Christ Superstar, you know. The Bible tells us a different story that negates popular false ideas that have arisen about her throughout history. And I found out that this woman, outside of Mary, the mother of Jesus, was the most amazing, absolutely amazing woman that followed Jesus. I mean, she rose above the pack. You know, she was mentioned 14 times in the New Testament. Luke 8 talks about her, says this: after this, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary Magdalene, from whom the 7 demons had come out. So, my goodness, she wasn't, a harlot, so to speak. She was possessed by demons. She was from Magdalene, which is from where her name comes. It was an interesting town, about 15,000 people. You know, they were a trading town. But they were also known for harlotry, which is, you know, what she was blamed for. And it was practiced in that area where Jesus did most of his ministry. But she was not that kind of a woman. She was not a harlot. She was a sinner like you and me. And this is amazing. She was tormented by Satan's demon and was desperate for a savior. And when Jesus came into the area, he healed her from the demons, and she literally became a new woman. She was made totally whole, as if she were never demonized in the first place. I mean, it was one of those incredible but credible ministries that Jesus did. It was a miracle, and she was done. I mean, it was over. And she ended up financially supporting Jesus. She witnesses death and was the first evangel. She was the first person to see him resurrected. She was the first one to share the good news of Jesus. We need to put her in a right, you know, in a right spot. And she likely awaited the descent of the Holy Spirit with, you know, the new believers. So here she was, for the first time, you know, and only God knows how long, free to think, free to be, free to speak and to love and to be a real person with feelings. That woman that God created her to be, she became. And she experienced grace. She experienced peace, a new life. And she had been truly transformed. And she knew that she could not live without Jesus. And he became her savior, and she followed him and took care of, with many men, many other women, you know, the disciples, and was a magnificent woman.
Well, Nancy, you say that, and everything you just talked about really proves it out too, but you say that we as Christians have the responsibility to make sure that we have the historical facts correct when it comes to the Bible, obviously, even things that seem really insignificant. So share more about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you think, well, why are you talking about Mary Magdalene? And I think we need to talk about her because she is an example of God's caring grace in saving those who are under satanic control. You know, our sins are not fatal. It's not the end of our life when we realize that we're sinners. And for her, it was the same thing. I cannot imagine what it would be like to be possessed by all those demons and all those voices. She must have thought that there was no hope for her. But boom, she meets Jesus. She truly trusts him. She believed him. And, you know, just like all of God's children, you know, we are forgiven. And our sins are forgotten by Jesus when we confess him as Savior. You know, and we are called not to focus on our past, but to focus on the present and actively engage in the worshiping our Savior. And in this case, it was direct, you know, with Jesus himself. But for us, this is not insignificant. This is a story of redemption that we should all learn from and become true followers of Jesus. You know, Jesus again spoke to them saying in John 8, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light, capital L, of life. In Ephesians 5, 8 through 10, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that's good, all that's right, and all that's true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Man, we can learn, you know, just something that at one time seemed so insignificant became huge in my own life. This is what it really means to follow Jesus. Be a new person. Shift, download, you know, start over, Jesus says. Come on, you can do this. I'm with you. And it's for believers. I'm in you and I'm not leaving you. Let's go. It's a huge lesson.
It's a giant lesson, mm-hmm. one that we all need to pay attention to. And I love the fact that you've drawn attention to the fact of the demon possession versus just this salacious story that has really kind of carried all the way through, you know, I would say for history, because mm-hmm. that's always been a very strong misconception about who she was.
Yeah. Yeah. And it buries grace.
Oh, yeah.
And buries hope. And we need to be talking about this woman. She can do it. You know, through Christ, we can all do it. That's for sure.
Mm-mm. I love that you pulled all of this out of her story today. This has really been encouraging. And, you know, when I saw your question come through a few days ago about being misunderstood, I thought, oh, it is on today.
It is. But game on.
What a great story. This has really been good, Nancy. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Well, we're so glad to have you join us, and we want to tell people how they can find out information about Anchors Away. You know, you can always find information about every one of our ministries over at killiansteve.org mm-hmm. under the Resources tab, but you can also find information about Anchors Away on the web at anchorsaway.org.